Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
You presume to dictate duty to me? Have you any idea what the cost of your actions is? What their effect might be? Who are you to give them hope?
What do you give them?
We give them happiness. And they give us authority.
The authority to take away their freedom under the guise of democracy.
Men can never be free because they're weak, corrupt, worthless, and restless. The people believe in authority. They've grown tired of waiting for miracle and mystery. Science is their religion. No greater explanation exists for them. They must never believe any differently if the project is to go forward.
At what cost to them?
The question's irrelevant, and the outcome inevitable. The date is set. Most of them have ceased to believe in God.
Why?
Because God presents them with no miracles to earn their faith.
You think when man ceases to believe in miracles, he rejects God? You rule over them in God's name.
They don't believe in him, but they still fear him. They're afraid not to because they're afraid of freedom.
And you give them happiness.
We appease their conscience. Anyone who can appease a man's conscience can take his freedom away from him.
And if you can't appease their conscience, you kill them. But you can't kill them all. You can't kill their love, which is what makes them who they are, makes them better than us, better than you.
And deeper down that rabbit hole we go. And oh my God, we're going to go into some rabbit holes tonight, chasing those red pills, those blue pills, those black pills, those white pills. We are going to some amazing places, as always. And yes, welcome to Aeon Bite. So glad to see you. My name is Miguel Connor, and I am your pompous of gnosis. Welcome, everybody, on this Mercury day. And I hope everybody is doing well and everybody is waking up. We fight the good fight here against the Archons and their Karens and Catamites in the establishment. We're running with those searching for the truth and avoiding those who have found it. And yes, we're writing our own gospel and living our own myth. And it is truly an honor to have with us today, Jesse Beltran. Jesse, how are you doing?
Doing well. Thank you for having me on your show.
Honor is all ours. And with us too, we've got the Moondog Vance. Vance, how are you doing?
I'm just fine. Looking forward to learning about the covert influences that befall us in the rabbit hole.
And there are many. There are many.
Oh, yeah.
But that's what we do here, is we lift the veil and help those find their own path, find their own destiny with their own voice and hopefully their own volition. I see everybody already in the stream. Already good people. Hey, Paul, I think I just saw you at Astronosis a couple of days ago. How you doing? I see him, Vance. It must be his CIA guy or double. I see Graham Pong. I see a lot of cool people. And, of course, you always know, if you have any questions, please super chat them so we can separate you and get you to and get your question out. And same as always. And please, hopefully there'll be no Wetiko in the Chitiko to turn it into the Chitiko and not much else. We want to get to the main event here. As always, please subscribe, share, like, all that good stuff. Support Aeon Biden any way you can. Patreon, AB Prime, Red Circle. You can join as cheap as $1 at Patreon. One-time donations are always appreciated. Help us keep the lights of the Pleroma on. I can't do it without you. But that's independent media for you. It all depends on you supporting this revolution of the spirit of the mind. Well, Jesse, let's start with you. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came into the how you came to become a heretic, as I like to say here.
Okay. Well, again, my name's Jesse Beltran. I'm a retired firefighter paramedic out of the city of Sacramento in California. I am also a certified master hypnotist with a diploma in hypnotherapy. And formerly, I was the president of an organization called the International Center Against the Abuse of Covert Technologies.
Covert Technologies, yes. And right now you are, and we want to get to the Nexus event, but right now you're working, or you're the president of Cosmic Clarity Connections. Could you tell the audience a little bit about that?
Yes. We're promoting a Mind Nexus Live event.com. And what it is we're merging space, science, and spirituality. We wanted a platform and where we can get experts from different backgrounds to come and enlighten people and awakening the general population about what's really going on in our world today. And we have an all-star lineup, and we can talk about that a little bit later.
For sure. Yeah, I love the fact where science and spirituality meet. So I'm assuming, like all of us here, you believe that for too long in the Cartesian universe, this got separated. But the truth is the mind and body are one. Science and spirituality should be one, right? I mean, the survival of our species depends on it, don't you think, Jesse?
Most definitely. And not only does it depend on it, it's imperative that we, because we live in a technocratic society, and unfortunately, those in charge are not using it in a just way. We also have to use our minds and our spirits and our conglomerating together, so that we come out with the truth, and so we can disseminate the truth, so that others realize what reality is, and that what you may be experiencing may not necessarily be a medical phenomenon, but an induced phenomenon.
Agreed. Yeah, and if you don't mind just stepping a little bit back, there's a little bit of a pop. Do you hear a pop on his mic, Vance?
Is that better?
Yeah, I didn't notice it, actually.
Okay. But...
Okay.
Yeah, it's much better now. Well, awesome. Yeah. And before we get started with some of your work, well, your work is in hypnotism, and thank God we live in 2024 because, you know, again, holistic and modalities are so much more accepted. There's less misunderstanding. When I last time I relapsed, and it was self hypnotism and healing hypnotism, and I have worked with hypnotherapy. It's been invaluable to get me straightened out and on the road of waking up. But maybe you can tell the audience, what is really hypnotism, or how do you tell people what is hypnotism?
Well, what I practice is hypnotherapy. And most people have these preconceived ideas, what Hollywood puts out there or what they see at the state fair, the stage hypnotism. And it really gives... hypnosis, sometimes a bad connotation, but hypnotherapy is a very quick and effective way to deal with either traumas, phobias, smoking sensation, eating issues. And it can also be used as a superpower. I'm writing a book right now called Undue Influence, Turning Your Suggestibility into Your Superpower. Because it could be used like for performance enhancement. You hear these stories of someone, a mother becoming superhuman, lifting a vehicle. And basically what that is tapping into the subconscious mind. And the subconscious mind allows us to access resources within ourselves that we wouldn't normally have when we have our critical thinking factors on. And the critical thinking factors that we have are everything that we've been conditioned to believe from childhood up, everything we've been indoctrinated to, all of your belief systems, and you're always assessing whether your environment of reality matches with that critical thinking factor. And what hypnosis does, it pretty much puts that aside, allows you to have complete access to the subconscious. And little do people understand, your subconscious mind is really the one that protects you 100% of the time. For example, every beat that your heart has, your breathing, your blink reflexes, all these things, your subconscious, or they call it the parasympathetic nervous system, but they correlate with each other. And that is where change really happens. There's a gentleman by the name of Dr. Richard Bandler, who was the co-creator of neuro-linguistic programming, and he uses this analogy. He says, when you access the subconscious mind, you're allowed to reprogram a neuron that it maybe has bad programming, and then you can reaffirm it with positive programming on what the individual's goals are and what it is they're trying to accomplish. And basically you paraphrase it in hypnotic language that you can instill on the subconscious, and then the output is changed almost immediately. And that's in essence.
Yeah, fascinating. Yeah, like you said. It's I always say it's just a form of meditation that gets you deep into the unconscious. Like you said, that's where all the answers are. As somebody said, if 99% of our mind is working unconsciously to run our body, shouldn't we listen to our body? I mean, it knows more than our little ego sort of floating in this ocean of consciousness. And I think that's what we've forgotten. And fascinating what you said actually happened to my aunt in Portugal. She was there, this is years ago, with my cousin. Car came, you know, just out of nowhere, some crazy driver while she was waiting for the bus, ran over my cousin, and all of a sudden, you know, this 120-pound lady just pulled the car up, and she still cannot believe it. Just, there wasn't even an option. It's like, I'm getting this car off of my cousin, and thank God he survived, but... wildest story. So, and it happens a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, it does happen, and it's not unheard of. And so I love using that analogy and those stories so that people understand that we are far, far greater than we ever give credit to ourselves. Just as long as you give the chance to allow it to happen and have an open mind.
Yeah. Well said indeed. And that's what we try to do at the show, Jesse. The ancient Gnostics and Hermeticists said the mind is this super fusion engine, and we humans haven't even tapped into a fraction of it. And that's our great gift. That's how we become caretakers of the cosmos, by accessing our mind and taking care of nature, animals, and, you know, doing what the gods need us to do. So I'm glad you're doing what you're doing. So would you like to start?
Yeah, I did. I benefited from a hypnotherapist some years ago when I was having a problem with my father. And, you know, he kind of hurt me very deeply, and it really benefited me. So yeah. I know it firsthand.
I specialize in PTSD, and that's a form of PTSD, whether we like it or not. It's reality. And the nice thing about hypnotherapy is, it's like I said, you can very quickly and very effectively start to experience change within the first session that you have. Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
Excellent. Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, where do you want to start, Jesse? I mean, you tell us where you want to go. Yeah. I'm fascinated. Well, go ahead.
So what I'm going to just dive into the rabbit hole and talk about what I have accomplished with the International Center Against the Abuse of Covert Technologies. And we'll use the acronym ISA Act for short. And the reason it came about is I met a gentleman by the name of Dr. John Hall, who is a anesthesiologist out of Texas, and just a plethora of knowledge. He's written two books. The first book was called A New Breed, Satellite Terrorism in America. And the second book is called Guinea Pigs, Technologies of Control. And I met him in Texas, and we got on the topic of him seeing patients who were complaining of having a certain phenomenon. Now, recently, what's been in the forefront is this phrase called Havana syndrome, or anomalous health incidences. Mm-hmm. And the Havana syndrome was reported by United States diplomats in Havana, Cuba, at the U.S. Embassy. And they were complaining of having this acute onset of strange sounds being transmitted to them. And they were getting migraines and nausea, vomiting, vertigo, brain fog, short-term, long-term memory issues, and electrical shocks to the extremities. And this was first reported, according to them, in 2016, but it's actually started in 2014. And it was not only happening to our diplomats, it was also happening to our CIA agents, our FBI agents, and family members. And in March of this year, the Department of Homeland Security held a hearing, and a gentleman by the name of Colonel Greg Edgren, retired, gave testimony with regards to this issue. He only helps federal employees who have suffered injuries or traumas over the years during their tenure. And he was asked to look into this phenomenon called the Havana syndrome. And it initially didn't get any ground where the United States was supporting them, not until it started happening to diplomats in the Canadian embassy, and also to their family members and so forth. And the Canadian government immediately supported them, and the United States jumped on board in 2016 and put aside funding to help them. Now, interesting enough, it was happening to our best of the best, the elite of the elite, our greatest minds in our federal government they were going after. And what he was concerned about is this was a national security issue because it's taking them out of service. It's very debilitating. Now, I'll jump back to Dr. John Hall. Now, interesting enough, the people that he was seeing were complaining of the same phenomenon. And so I asked, so why aren't we doing anything about it? And he said, it's because, and we talk about this was 20 years ago, and if we look at the mindset of our medical community then, if anyone followed traditional medicine, went to the physician and started to say they were hearing strange sounds, they were automatically railroaded into the mental health industry, and they were either put on medication or given that stigma, and so they were re-victimized again. And if we remember, people who are given that stigma, they pretty much lose all credibility in our society, which is very unfortunate. So I said, so, you know, let's figure out a way to make these individual cases into objective data. So that's how I created ISA Act. And our first meeting was held in Sacramento, California, and we had over 100 people show up. And interestingly enough, they all had the very exact same complaints with very little deviation. And so I found that fascinating. I was expecting maybe a handful of people, not 100. Then our second meeting was held in Davis, California, and then 300 people showed up. And so what we were doing is we were doing radio frequency testing. And we were utilizing a device called the JM20 Pro, and it allowed us to calibrate so that we had to be within a couple of inches of an emission for it to show positive. And what the data was showing when we were doing this is that the primary victims were Caucasian women in their 40s, highly educated, recently single, widowed, or divorced. Then it fell to Caucasian males, then African-American females, African-American males, then Asians in the same categories. And it dwindled down in ethnicity from there. Then we continued to do the testing through the Midwest, and the exact same results. And then until we got into the Chicago area, it was a minor flip where the predominant race was African-Americans, then Caucasians, then Asians, and then it fell from there. And it remained that way all the way to the East Coast, with one anomaly, which was in Virginia. And in Virginia, I was invited to do the RF testing for a bunch of folks there, and they were all military subcontractors. And I asked everyone, and this is why I became a certified master hypnotist, because I've been practicing since the early 2000s, became certified in 2014. And I asked the group, if I were to ask you, are you highly suggestible? No one raised their hand. And then I said, if you're not suggestible, raise your hand. And almost everyone did. And I picked the most intimidating gentleman in the room. And he was 6'6", about 260, 270 pounds, very fit, good-looking man, African-American gentleman. And interesting enough, he was working on the AIDS virus in 2010, 2011, right there. And I found that fascinating. I go, why is the military working on the AIDS virus when it's been around for over 20 years at that point? Right. But they were still working on it. And so him and I were talking and had his hands held together. And then by the time we were done, I say, do me a favor, pull your hands apart. And he tried and he tried and he couldn't. And he became a little anxious. And so we don't want that because it's called an ab reaction. So I go, sleep. So he immediately went to sleep. And my whole purpose of the demonstration was to show everyone in the room that if you're highly suggestible, that just through language, just carrying on a conversation, if someone knows what they're doing, they can pretty much get you to do almost anything. Okay, now why is this important to know with this phenomenon? There's a couple of cases. One was a gentleman by the name of Aaron Alexis. And he killed 16 people at the Navy Yard on the East Coast. And there's another gentleman by the name of Myron May. He was an attorney out of Florida. And he killed, I think it was 3 people at the university there. Now, both of these gentlemen contacted me before they did what they did. And I had no indication that they were going to do what they were going to do. It was horrible. They were complaining of these exact same symptoms. Now, Colonel Egren says that he believes that this phenomena is singling out these individuals, and they say it's some type of electromagnetic pulse weapon, so some type of frequency that was being emitted at them. And I've always used a common sense approach. Because I've been dealing with this phenomena for over 20 years now, and I've had enough exposure to people who complain about these symptoms, we knew that it was some type of radio frequency that was being transmitted. But these radio frequencies are in the ambient atmosphere. So it's hitting everyone, okay? And so the common sense approach was, so what is it about these individuals that makes them special that they receive this signal? Although it's not special, it's a horrible phenomena to be affected by. And what we've found, Miguel, if you can pull up that screen real quick for your listeners.
You might have to, let's see, where is
it? You want me to pull it up? I can.
We got the infinite rabbit hole, so you'll have to go to your.
Okay, so right here.
There you go.
Okay. So what we're finding is that we're pulling out implants out of these individuals. Okay. Now, this particular specimen was over 20 years, and this is ago, and look how small they are. You see the letter on that penny?
Yeah.
They're almost the size of that letter.
Wow.
And there are various types of implants. Now, this particular case, this gentleman's name was David Larson, and this is the out of the David Larson report. He was a politician out of Southern California, and he had many of these. I think it was 10 or more. I'm sure it was more than 10 that were pulled from his person. Now, he sued because these implants were traced back to a medical company. And the suit was thrown out and dismissed by the judge because Mr. Larson inadvertently signed a signature to participate in an experiment. And the issue was that they did not give him full disclosure. And this is part of our fight, is that if anyone is going to participate in any type of study, that they be given the opportunity to have full disclosure about what is going to be done with them. Because Mr. Larson, had he known that they were going to do this to him, he would have never participated in this. Okay. So...
Wow, holy Elon Musk, Manchurian candidate. The chat room has gone crazy. Yes. How do I get it? Is it in me?
We'll talk about this.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. This is another case. This is called the Bob Boyce case. Now, Bob Boyce was an inventor of a high-efficiency engine. And what we're looking at here, this is actually a cancerous tumor. If you look at these tweezers and look at the end of the tweezers, you see a microchip. So this is an older type technology. And the story Bob tells, when I spoke to him, he said, Jesse, I had just succumbed that I was going to die from this cancer. And till one day, he was in what's called a Faraday cage. And a Faraday cage is a small environment that's grounded, and it doesn't allow EMF emissions to escape, and it's supposed to block out certain spectrums coming in. Now, Bob was testing his inventions for RF leakage, and his frequency detector, which is what we use in the preliminary scans, the wand went across his shoulder, and it pinged. And so he thought that was odd and went and got an X-ray, and that's where they found the microchip in the tumors. Now, it was removed, taken to pathology. Bob's cancer went into remission, and he thought he was over it until the cancer came back very aggressively. Now, I asked him what happened to that microchip that they pulled out, and he says it disappeared after it went to pathology. So when the cancer came back aggressively, he re-scanned himself in the Faraday cage, and they found a second chip. This time, they used the chain of custody, and they weren't going to let that get out of their hands. And when they traced the serial number of this microchip, it went back to an NSA database. Now, interesting enough, Bob's story goes like this. He loves Mountain Dew. He was in his office at work one day, and his business partner brought him a Mountain Dew. And then Bob woke up 3 days later and didn't know why. Well, it turns out his business partner was a former NSA employee. Okay. Now, show you a couple more. Actually, one more.
Yeah, former, quote unquote.
Yeah, former.
You never leave the club, as they say.
Yeah. So, this is an MRI, and this particular patient, if you look around the circle in red, remember that microchip that they just pulled out of Bob Boyce, you can actually see the chip, which is in the TMJ area of this patient. And this patient had it bilaterally. If you blow this up, you can actually see the coil and superimpose the chip over it, and they line up. It's kind of interesting to watch. So this has been our fight. Through ICE Act. And this has not only taken me across the United States, but it's actually taken me around the world. I've been all through Europe. I've had government agencies invite me over so that I can come and test their employees. And they asked me to sign an NDA, and they took me to a remote location where I can use what's called an anechoic chamber. And this anechoic chamber is a very robust Faraday cage. It's millions of dollars, and it blocks out huge frequency spectrums. And we use controls. So we use people who we knew weren't victims, and we took them in the environment, and we got zero frequency emissions. But what's interesting, everyone that we scanned in the preliminary environments, and we documented where they were lighting up, lit up with frequency emissions in the anechoic chamber. So they came up positive within that environment. Okay. And now, yeah. And then I'm going to show you, this is where we're at today. These are the type of implants that are being removed from people today. And this is one of my earliest clients. Now, this is a laboratory report. I've redacted the lab and the physician's name so they don't get bombarded. They continue to help with cases when we have someone to bring to them. So these were three specimens that were removed. And this is our dilemma today. This is what they look like today. There's a nanowires. It's actually our bodies will actually encapsulate them. They do not reject them. And wow. Yeah. And they're nano size.
Oh my God.
So radiographic imagery today will never pick these up. So what needs to happen is what we do in the field now is if someone comes up positive on an RF, preliminary RF scan, what we tell them to do is, because we don't know if they have older technology, which are the larger chips, mm-hmm. or whether they have this newer technology. So we always have them get radiographic imagery. So we always say, see if you can get an MRI scan or a panoramic X-ray so that we can check these areas and then various areas throughout their body. Now, people were asking, you know, how are these getting in people? The only thing I can say is what the data is inferring, okay? Now, all the people who are complaining about these Havana syndrome type symptoms, we can superimpose their scans over each other and they all line up, okay? Interesting enough, everyone who's been in the military, soldiers, we can superimpose them over each other and they line up. And also incarcerated people. They're slightly different, but we superimpose them over each other and they line up. And here's where it gets further down the rabbit hole. I'm going to...
I don't think we're going any deeper, but...
we're going to go deeper, okay?
Oh, you're going to go deeper.
Right? We're going to go deeper. So this is a lawsuit. It's called the DeVore case. Now, Dawn DeVore was a nurse and worked for the Department of Corrections. She ended up being a whistleblower. And because of this, she ended up in this program. Now, this is an intercepted document that was submitted to the courts as Exhibit 2. And it's from the IntelliConnection and Security Division of IBM. This is confidential, and this was only supposed to be seen among top-level people. And it's called the 2020 Neural Chip Implant.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to KundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
And I'm going to read a couple of paragraphs just to get to the point. It says, the control of crime will be paramount concern in the 21st century. We must be ready with our security products when the demand for them becomes popular. Our research and development division has been in contact with the Federal Bureau of Prisons, the California Department of Corrections, the Texas Department of Public Safety, and the Massachusetts Department of Corrections to run limited trials of the 2020 neural chip implant. Okay. Now, what they were doing is they were knocking out prisoners and non-consensually putting them in them. This last paragraph. In California, several prisoners were identified as members of security, as a security threat. Now, remember, they're doing this to protect us. They were brought to the health services at Pelican Bay and tranquilized with advanced sedatives developed by our Cambridge, Massachusetts laboratory. The implant procedure takes about 60 to 90 minutes, depending upon the experience of the technician. And they're working on a device that will reduce the time by as much as 60%, so they'll get faster and more efficient at doing this to people. Okay, and it says the results of implants on 8 prisoners yielded the following results. Implants served as surveillance monitoring device to the threat group. So in other words, not only could they track where they were able to receive and transmit information from them.
Oh.
Okay. Implants disabled 2 subjects during an assault on correctional staff. The universal side effects in all 8 test subjects revealed that when an implant was set to 116 megahertz, all subjects became lethargic and slept on an average of 18 to 22 hours.
Wow. There's a behavior control. Wow.
There it is. And they can manipulate the frequencies. They already know what frequencies they need to send to you to make you aggressive, to make you docile, to get you to we'll touch on it, because this next report that I read to you is, you might say, we can't go any deeper than this. Well, we go deeper than this. Okay.
They're like in X-Files territory.
Yes. Each subject was monitored for aggressive activity during the test period, and the findings are conclusive that out of the 8 test subjects, exhibited no aggression, even when provoked. Okay. So what does this mean?
They'd have to beam something to the patients and the implant would receive it and then affect the patient. Is that the way it works?
Well,
something has to control the implant.
I would say, right? The victim. Yeah. It's a victim. Yeah. They're all controlled by signals.
Patients.
Yes. These are victims. Yeah. Agreed. So, So that's, this isn't scary enough. I'm about to read the next report, and then it's going to open up a plethora of discussions and questions already now. So there's a document. It's called the New World Vistas. It was created by the United States Air Force and declassified in 1994. And this is a loan document. This was obtained in 1995, but, you know, serial number, they want to make sure they're documenting everything when they release these. Now, this was done 30 years ago, but this is a document that was created by the United States Air Force greatest minds. And the agenda is to create technology so that the United States Air Force remains a superpower. Okay. And you have some areas that are highlighted. And it says, it appears likely that there are a number of physical agents that might actively but largely benignly interact or interfere with biological processes and an adversary in a manner that will provide our armed forces the tools to control these adversaries without excessive loss of life or property. These physical agents could include acoustic fields, optical fields, electromagnetic fields, and a combination thereof. This paper will address only the prospect of physical regulation of biological processes using electromagnetic fields. And here we go. Prior to the mid-21st century, there will be a virtual explosion of the knowledge in the field of neuroscience. We will have achieved a clear understanding of how the human brain works, how it really controls the various functions of the body, and how it can be manipulated both positively and negatively. One can envision the development of electromagnetic energy sources, the output of which can be pulsed, shaped, and focused, that can couple with the human body in a fashion that will allow one to prevent voluntary muscular movements. Remember the prisoners. Mm-hmm. Control emotions, thus actions, produce sleep, transmit suggestions, interfere with both short-term and long-term memory, produce an experience set, and delete an experience set. This will open the door for the development of some novel capabilities that can be used in armed conflict, in terrorist hostage situations, and in training. New weapons that offer the opportunity of control of an adversary without resorting to a lethal solution or collateral casualties can be developed around this concept. This would offer significant improvements in the capabilities of our special operation forces. Initial experimentation should be focused on the interaction of electromagnetic energy and the neuromuscular junctions involved in voluntary muscle control. Now, this was 30 years ago, and it gets crazier. And it would
now
also
we're in Black Mirror fluffy dick arenas.
Yes. Well,
so this far, they're just imagining it, right? They're saying they project that, you know, in the near future, this will be possible. That's what.
Okay. But we're in the thick of it. Yeah. Okay. Back when we were doing
the
study.
Black Mirror world.
Yeah. Yeah. When we were doing the study back in 2010, 2011, the majority of that was experimentation, and then we'll talk about the subsets of other individuals that we believe why they were brought into this program. Okay. But here's where it gets really interesting. It says it would also appear possible to create high fidelity speech in the human body, raising the possibility of covert suggestion in psychological direction. When a high power microwave pulse in the gigahertz range strikes the human body, a very small temperature perturbation occurs. This is associated with the sudden expansion of the slightly heated tissue. This expansion is fast enough to produce an acoustic wave. If a pulse stream is used, it should be possible to create an internal acoustic field in the 5 to 15 kilohertz range, which is audible. Thus, it may be possible to talk to selected adversaries in a fashion that would be most disturbing to them. In comparison to discussion in the paragraphs above, the concept of imprinting an experience set is highly speculative, but nonetheless highly exciting. Modern electromagnetic scattering theory raises the prospect that ultra-short pulse scattering through the human brain can result in reflective signals that can be used to construct a reliable estimate of the degree of central nervous system arousal. The concept behind the remote EEG is to scatter off action potentials or ensembles of action potentials in major central nervous system tracts. Assuming we will understand how our skills are imprinted and recalled, it might be possible to take this concept one step further and duplicate the experience set in another individual. So what they're talking about there, and remember all the symptoms that the best of our best were experiencing, it mirrors exactly what they were pre-planning years ago. And we are now pulling out these implants. And the only way, and we're betting our dollar on this now, the only way you're going to receive this signal is you have to have a mechanism to receive it.
But these individuals, this is why we're pulling them out. An accident? They were just receiving waves, or they were attacked by foreign...
No, this is purposely done.
Oh, there this were is purposely done. Okay, okay. But
this is purposely done to people.
But if our military is doing it, why is our military, or maybe foreigners were doing it to our people?
Well, I can say this. The United States, China, Russia, and the UK all have this technology now. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, how is it being done? So Colonel Egren says he believes it's the Russians that are doing this. Okay. Now, I would agree in certain circumstances that the Russians are doing this to individuals, particularly in our homeland. But I have seen over 1,000 people cases, and most of these people have never left our country. So how are the implants getting in them if they've never left our country?
Right.
So the United States is notorious for experimenting on our own. You know, you can talk about the Tuskegee experiments where they gave African-American males syphilis and let it proliferate just to see what it would do.
Exactly.
Our LSD experiments that they were doing in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. I mean, Ewan Cameron, and this is where this technology ties into what he was doing. He was a Canadian psychiatrist funded by the United States government in order to see whether or not you can erase someone's memories and re-imprint them. And he would use techniques like shock therapy. He would give them drugs to induce long-term sleep, and we're talking like months. And then he would put this helmet over them with a tape recorder in it that would repeat themes over and over and over again while they were in this induced drug-induced sleep pattern. And now remember this technology now. What is the main complaint of our elite federal employees? They're hearing these strange sounds, mm-hmm. and it's being transmitted 24/7, 365 days a year. So basically what Ewan Cameron was doing was psychic driving in its infancy. We are now dealing with psychic driving on steroids.
Oh, yeah, that is chilling. Yeah, and of course there's so much with Henrietta Lacks, The Exorcist was a CIA experiment. World of the Wars, they say, was a government. I mean, over and over, our government has been doing to its own citizens. And you mentioned, obviously, MKUltra. So it's
Well,
so the big question is, why hasn't the government, and like in the case of the Havana syndrome, set up RF monitoring to detect the signals that are incoming? Because they can't cause this, apparently, without having a stimulation from the outside.
Correct. Unless we're doing it.
Oh, to our own people inside Havana embassy? Why would they do that?
Well, we can tell you this. They're claiming that the Havana syndrome just mysteriously popped up in 2016. Earlier cases in the government were about 2014. We have been documenting it since 2010. I have couple of cases that's 2004, 2005. Now, we know through FOIA reports, releases, that our military was experimenting with implants in the 40s and 50s, putting them in people. So though they were the larger rice style type. And then in the 20s, they became the small size of rice. And now, when I was in Virginia, I got to speak with the two individuals. They were a husband and wife team. They worked in the Pentagon. And he wanted to know what I was doing there. And I briefly told him, didn't tell him everything, but I'm pretty sure he already knew why I was there. And he said, oh, implants. I can tell you exactly what year they were put in a person just by the style of the implant. And he says, but if it happens to someone today, they're SOL. He says, they are so small that it's impossible to pick up on an X-ray or an MRI. And those were the nano-sized implants that were removed from my client that he's referring to.
Yeah, it's pretty terrifying.
Yeah. Years ago, yeah. I've heard for years that what happened with the Havana syndrome happened in the Moscow embassies in Russia years ago.
Correct.
I mean, oh, it's not insects.
It's no.
Loud locusts or
their cicadas is what they were trying to say that they were hearing, and it wasn't. But here's the thing. You know, the reason I got involved, wanted to take hypnotherapy very seriously, is because as I was going across the United States and throughout Europe, I realized that the people who were most affected were highly suggestible. Okay. Now, let's take the technology aside. Let's throw that away for just a second. The studies show that 15 to 30% of the population are highly suggestible, very naturally. Okay. And this is why there was a belief system that that only 30% of the population could be hypnotized. But that's untrue. You just need to know the modality to use in order to put someone in trance or hypnotize them. So if you know their suggestibility attributes, then you can use language in order to do this. Now, the reason I bring this up is, if you recall, a lot of these victims, including the federal employees, were talking about hearing, some of them were hearing voices.
Right.
Now, if you have someone like Aaron Alexis or Myron May, who were highly suggestible, but their personality traits initially is when they deal with stress, it's fight or flight. Theirs was fight. Okay. And so they went and did what they thought they needed to do, which was wrong and horrible. But just think about this. If you wanted to get someone to do something and not remember, and you're educated on how to do these types of things, you can get someone to do anything that you want, you know. And take someone who's very religious. If you wanted to make them believe that they were talking to God, you can get them to do whatever you want. In fact, in Iraq, they used the voice of God weapon, where they were believing they were hearing Allah speak to them, and Allah told them to give up, and they just gave up. They tried to use this technology in Waco, but they didn't. The person who knew how to operate the equipment, they were a little impatient, and that turned into a disaster. But my feeling is, because people keep saying, well, who's doing this? I think it's a combination of all the superpowers right now, because Colonel Egren testified in front of Congress at the Homeland Security hearing. He said, this is happening on every continent on this planet with one exception, and that's Antarctica.
Yeah, wait till we find those snowmen. Penguins.
Yeah, those penguins. You got to protect those penguins.
Yeah, yeah. We ain't going to put no chips on no penguins, Elon Musk. But yeah, it is terrifying because obviously, I mean, beyond that, as we've shown in the show, remote viewing, remote control is something that the Russians and the Americans have been doing to each other with psychics. Now we're leveling up to the cyberpunk mixture. And of course, where many people are wondering about, you know, the assassination attempt on the president. This falls into, I don't know if you're familiar with Dave McGowan's work, Program to Kill, and all these serial killers. You can find out they usually grew up or were in a military base or lived near a military base or lived in some sort of experimental medical facility. And you start to wonder what is going on. But as you've shown, it wouldn't be too hard to create this figure who would take out whoever you wanted to take out, right?
Or yeah. Work with BlackRock, you know?
Well, that, you know, being the commercial like the young man was, right?
Right.
But if you look at throughout history, superpowers and those in control have always tried to use an approach of divide and conquer. Mm-hmm. Keep everyone separated, keep everyone fighting against each other so that they can be distracted, so that they can secure their powers and secure their wealth. Okay. Now, if you wanted to do a huge social engineering project, this is the perfect avenue to do it. And I think we're in the midst of it. They are so brazen that they feel that they can institute this now, and there's nothing that we can do about it. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Especially, like you said, individuals who have no rights. Soldiers are slaves and prisoners and are basically slaves. They have half the rights we have. So they're perfect.
Yeah. And Colonel Egrin's, when he was asked, what's the objective? Is this to kill someone? You know, people have died from this. But his explanation was, this is a slow kill. And this is really meant to make someone look like they're crazy. Now, if you wanted to, you know, you talk about soldiers or slaves, the mental health industry, if someone's diagnosed with a mental illness, they're no longer valid in our society. We put them down at the bottom of the food chain. So if they speak up and say, hey, I think I have an implant in me, you know, no one's going to care. No one's going to care. And this has been the construct. So, you know, and this is why we develop what we do. We do a preliminary scan, which is out in the field. And the reason we did that is because we can do large numbers at one time. And then if they went and got their, we asked them to get either a toxicology report, MRIs, x-rays, and let's see what you have. And then what finally needs to happen is you have to get what is called a nonlinear junction scan. And I'll describe what that is and why it's important to get that done. Now, a nonlinear junction scan will test for not only the active, the one that's on 365 days a year, but it also tests for passive type technology. And that's the reason why the toxicology report is important, because if there are high levels of metals in your system, then there's a probability that you might have some technology in you. So what a nonlinear junction scan will do is it'll send an echo, initial echo, test to see if there's any ferrous material. And if it is, that it'll send an echo back to the scanner. And it'll send a secondary echo, which will turn on that passive technology, that passive implant. And then it'll send a third, and it'll get the frequency and location of where that's at. So that's why we use that methodology. So because this is not a disease process initially, but it can create disease processes, like Bob Boyce, who got cancer. And the reason I want to be clear on that to your listeners is that if you feel that you are suffering from a disease process, definitely go to your medical professional and tell them your symptoms. Don't tell them your theory, okay? And then after that, if you're not getting any headway and you believe that this may be the phenomenon that you're experiencing, then you're going to have to go outside the medical community. You're going to have to go to an agency who does this type of scanning. Or has resources that can get you the type of lab work that you need to get.
And when, okay, what are some, besides you, what are some other ones? Because, yeah, like there's a veteran in the chat right now, and he's freaking out because he was in the military.
Yeah.
Where would you send him?
Well, you know, I can only attest to what we do. I know there are some individuals out there that do something similar, but I don't know if they're as thorough.
We want like them said, to go to you. Don't worry first.
Yeah. So, and you know, if they come to us, and we'll guide them. And like I said, we have we have top talent, access to top talent, and that's what's important here. But more importantly, education is the primary line of defense. We have to make sure that we educate the general population, because what has happened over the last 20 years is these individuals who are suffering from domestic Havana syndrome are grouped together, and they're one little umbrella and their own little biosphere. And the rest of society is out here knowing nothing about this. And if they do get exposed to it, automatically they think that these individuals are a bunch of tinfoil hat people, which is not the reality. Now, here's the crazy thing. How many homeless people are out roaming our country right now who have mental illness? Man. And I'm really curious how many of them really have domestic Havana syndrome.
Many were in the military or in law enforcement, or like you said, spent time in prison, asylums. So yeah, that's a good point, yeah. Jesse. They could have easily been chipped at some point.
Yes. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's horrific. Yeah, these poor souls. I mean, yeah, it's bad enough we have, you know, people who suffer from schizophrenia and addiction. Now we've got a whole nother, like you said, you say it's not a disease. It is. I mean, it kind of is for many people.
Well, it's not a disease process if someone non-consensually implants you and then starts inflicting this type, because it's torture.
It is torture.
Yeah. It's torture. And what eventually happens, it is a slow kill. And I know dozens of people who have been killed this way. And it's not initially from the technology being implanted. It's because there are no resources to help them. And they usually commit suicide.
Yeah, that's horrible. And these implants can last forever? Do they have a shelf life?
I have cases right now. I have a gentleman who has been suffering from this for over 60 years.
Oh my God. Horrible.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, so
bless him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, in that case, I'm wondering what kind of RF network the torturers would have to have to, you know, affect the people no matter where they were. You'd think that maybe they could go on vacation somewhere, you know, in the woods or something, where the stations that are transmitting to them can't reach them. And, you know, the signal has to be at least a certain strength, I would imagine, in order to control the implants.
We know that it's satellite based. It is satellite based, and it
Starlink.
Is, it does. this was going on before Starlink. But it is satellite based. I've taken individuals, miles down in our earth.
Hey, shining crazy diamonds. Please subscribe for the second part of this interview. It certainly helps grow this Red Pill cafeteria. What's more, beyond getting the second half, you get content earlier and don't have to worry about flapdoodle commercials here or on other public platforms. So please become a Red Circle sub, Patreon, or AB Prime member for the full consciousness expanding gnosis. At Patreon, I have tiers as low as $1 or $3 a month. And at Red Circle, it's a clean $4.99 a month to stream all full shows. All subs include a dedicated private stream that works on most apps. Don't forget the Gnostic Tarot, which is selling well and optimizing spiritual growth based on the feedback I've gotten, and the Virtual Alexandria Academy. I can't do it without you. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being yourself, your true self, here in the desert of the real. Hello and goodbye, as always.
American Giant makes great clothing, t-shirts, jeans, and more, right here in the U.S., creating jobs in towns and cities across the country. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.